I need you to pray for me because I'm not really feeling that great. Hallelujah. But I feel great. I'm not feeling that great, but I feel great. Hallelujah. My wife was looking at me. I had a terrible night as far as sleep is concerned because I was a little clogged up. That's why I choose not to use a mic that somebody would catch something from me. But you see, when I get clogged up, I get a cold or something like that. When I was in the world or when I had to go to work, it never stopped me. It never stopped me, okay? When I was out there and I was drinking and cutting up and stuff like that, they used to say, well, you know what you do when you got a hangover? You get up in the morning and you take another one, and it kind of mellows you out, right? I hear some people saying true. That's all right. But then there's another way. When you get all intoxicated, if you work out, you can get the poison out. Amen? So I choose to work out to get the poison out. Amen? So this morning I got up at 3 o'clock and I worked out to get the poison out. Amen? Because when everything is flowing, nothing can stay the same. Everything has got to move. And I say we need to put that same philosophy in the things that we go through as citizens of God's kingdom. Amen? As children of the Lord. Things are going to continue to happen. Don't close up. Don't stop. It's time for you to work out. Amen? And I've already got a revelation that somebody's going to be working out today. I don't know who it is. But there's somebody is going to be working out today. And you know what? I am determined to work out with you. I am determined to work out with you. So if you find yourself running around this church this morning, don't stop and look back because I'm going to be right behind you. Amen? Hallelujah. So the scripture, the title this morning is Our Battle with Life's Strongholds. Amen? Turn to somebody and point at them and say, you know, you got a stronghold in your life. And turn to the other side and say, you know, you got a stronghold in your life. Hallelujah. In the ancient city of Jericho, which had this great big wall. Now, I'm going to describe this wall to you. Amen. They said that this wall was two massive stone walls. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and 20 feet high. The inner wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. There was a 15-foot guarded walkway between these two walls. From a military standpoint, it was practically impenetrable. Now, I want to just put that in terms. Y'all see these air conditioners on the wall, right? Somebody say amen. Somebody should have been clapping, but that's okay. When the man was putting the holes in the wall, he said, you know, those walls are 18 inches thick. He said it was hard getting through these walls. These walls are minute compared to the walls of Jericho. Amen? These are 18 inches thick. The walls of Jericho were 6 feet thick, and the second one was 12 feet thick. That means that they were 18 feet thick. Amen? The Great Wall stood as an obstacle between the people of Israel and them claiming all that God has had for them. Now, there are walls in our lives, and those walls are separating us from the promises that God has for us. Amen? Regardless how you think that you are, those things are embedded in your life and hinder you from your walk with God. Now, I used the word that said embedded. When I say embedded, it's just not on the side. It's in on you. It's inside of you. It's part of you. That means if you walk, you run, you jump, you hop, you skip, no matter what you do, it's embedded, ingrained enough that you're not losing it. It is still there. Amen? Now, that thing that's embedded. It could be some sin that is going deep, that is keeping you from the things of God. It could be the root of bitterness. It could be some unforgiveness that stands between you and God. I heard the minister say this morning, just a little while ago, that we need to let bygones be bygones, and if you can't settle issues, to bring somebody, a brother or sister there and settle it. She didn't know what I was preaching. This is a word from God. Amen? It could be some old bad attitude that is holding you back. There might be somebody that you want the Lord to touch, and you feel like the Lord didn't touch them, so you have this attitude. You could feel that there's something that God wants you to do, and you could feel like, I ain't ready for this, and it's holding you back from the Lord. It could be some family trouble that stretches your patience and your faith. Now, we all have family troubles. If you don't have family troubles, you ain't got no family. If you don't have family troubles, you ain't got no family. And I'm going to tell you something. You could choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. It could be something from your past that you continue to struggle with until this very day. That don't make a difference how old you are. You could be 10 and you could have been struggling for 10 years. You could be 80 and you could be struggling with this for 80 years. Whatever it is a stronghold in your life. And it's the thing that stands between you and you doing your best for God. But before you ever going to receive the best that God has for your life, that stronghold, whatever it is, has got to be torn down. Amen? And we look at obstacles and we say, oh, we're never going to get able to do that. Don't say that. Those obstacles are not dead ends. Those are opportunities. Those are opportunities for you to succeed and opportunities for you to put the enemy down. Amen? Because every time you overcome an obstacle, you feel good. Am I right? Every time you're able to overcome something that the devil has placed in your way, you feel good. There are elements that I'm going to talk about today that point us to the path of spiritual victory. So I'm going to spend some time today in some of these things. Our battle with life's strongholds. The scripture this morning is taken from Joshua, the 5th chapter, verses 13 to 15. And then later on, Joshua 6, verses 1 to 21. And I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm just going to point out some things. Amen? So Joshua 5, 13 to 15 says, now when Joshua was nearing Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us? For our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And as Joshua surveys the city of Jericho, he realizes that he had a strange encounter. Amen? Now, if you remember, Joshua came after Moses. When Moses went to the burning bush, he was told to take his shoes off because he was on holy ground. Two shoes. Take your shoes off. But this time, it said, take off one shoe because you're on holy ground. But let me tell you something, folks, this morning. I'm going to take off one shoe because I believe that I'm on holy ground. Amen? I'm on holy ground. Now, what this means is that it is a place of obedience. It's a place of Servitude. It's a place where you know that whoever you're dealing with is in authority over you. Amen? So he told Joshua, take one shoe off. Amen? This individual that Joshua meets outside of Jericho describes himself as the captain of the host of the Lord. He says also that, like, he's the commander of the army of the Lord. I think, you know how you have an epiphany? This is a Christ-opiphany. This is a vision of Christ before Bethlehem. This is a vision of Christ in the Old Testament before he even came in the New Testament. Amen? There's a lot of people who say, well, you know, Jesus is only in the New Testament. No, right here you see him appearing in the Old Testament. Amen? So Joshua came face to face with Jesus Christ. And for us, this picture is a matter of salvation. Because before we can go to victory, we must start the journey. And the journey is started at salvation. See, we want victory. We just want victory. We just want to pray and we want victory. But victory in our lives starts somewhere, and it starts at salvation. Because that same commander of the Lord's army has to be the same commander of your life. Now, I want you to listen to this. I want to know, is he your savior this morning? Is he the master and commander of your life? Are you saved this morning? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know whether or not you want to be a member of this church, because it's not about this church. It's about souls. It's about salvation. Okay? I don't see nowhere in the scripture it says they have to be a member of Cathedral of Higher Praise. But it does say that you have to confess him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? It don't say that you got to be a Baptist. Because you want to know something? There's a lot of Baptists that are going to be going to hell. It doesn't say that you got to be a church member. There's a lot of church members that are going to be going to hell. Amen? But you have to have that relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church, because he also says don't forsake. Don't forsake the assembly of us together, because there's strength in numbers. Hallelujah. Because what I can't, we can. So, has there ever been a specific moment in your life when you knew that you were a sinner? Has there ever been a moment in your life that you did something, or you were on your way to do something, and you did it, and you knew that you was on your way to hell? And only Jesus can save you. You know, in those moments, we have those come to Jesus moments. Come on, somebody. We have them come to Jesus moments. You know them foxhole prayers? If you get me out of this one, Lord, I'm going to do right. You remember that time where you were saved by the power and the grace of God. And if you haven't had that moment yet, live long enough, it's going to happen. And when somebody the size of God, I got a big God, when somebody the size of God gets into you, you're going to know it. I don't know how people could say, are you saved? Or I don't know if I am or not. Let me explain something to you. When God gets inside of you, you're going to know it. Hallelujah. If somebody gave you a swift kick up your butt, you know it. When God gets inside of you, it's a swift kick to everything you ever knew. You'll know it. So Joshua had a personal confrontation with this person of God. But notice what Joshua's encounter with the Lord caused him to do. It caused him to bow down in worship. God is awesome. God is huge, large. We must come to him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. But you can have an encounter. And when you have that encounter, it is going to bring you to your knees. And you're going to know that you had that encounter. You see, in verse 14, it caused Joshua to bow and worship. And your desire to bow down and worship the Lord says a lot about your relationship with the Lord. You see, if you can't bow down, you don't have such a great relationship with him because you don't respect him. You could say you have respect, but you don't have the respect that you should have for God, for Jesus. If the president of the United States came in here, whether you like him or not, you have to and you can't say nothing negative out in public. You can't even say it on the phone. You could say it in your head, but you cannot say it out. Because you have to give the man or that person the respect of his office. Because regardless, he has a position of authority. Amen? So you see, when you have a relationship with God, you will respect his authority. Now, some people have already made decisions for themselves. You see, when Joshua had this encounter, it caused him to worship. Now, I don't know who came here to worship this morning, but when we come in here, we're supposed to come in to worship. Yes. Amen? Amen. Amen. But I guarantee you that there's somebody here today that came in here with their own agenda before they walked in the door. I don't care what singing, I don't care how they sound, I'm not standing up. I'm not singing that song. That's not the song I want to hear. So you didn't come in here to bow down. You didn't come in here to worship. You came in here for your own thing. And you want to know something? That's not God's decision. That's your decision. So salvation will leave you worshiping, but it'll also leave you bowing down. The next thing the Lord tells Joshua is that he is the captain of the Lord's host. That means that he is the one who is always victorious. Amen? That captain has never lost a battle. His army has never, ever, ever lost a battle. So you know when that person, that stranger, said something to Joshua, right away he knew what he was dealing with. He said, I am the captain of the Lord's army. Joshua hit the floor. You know, if somebody came in here with a gun and they started shooting, I guarantee you hit the floor. This man said, I am captain of God's army. He said, bang, he hit the floor. It was like something shot him. When the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, the Spirit get a hold of you, something's going to shoot you, and you're going to hit the floor. And you say, well, I've been searching and trying to get saved and trying to get sanctification and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Why ain't I get you not bowing down? When that spirit is hitting you, you're not getting humble enough. You're not taking it in as to who is touching you. And I know, I'll tell you, I've been in this church. I've been in situations where the Holy Spirit was touching me. And I did not get up and come to the altar. I did not get up because there was something holding me back. There was a stronghold in my life that was holding me back. Yes. Hallelujah. And when you get that feeling that the Lord is calling you and touching you and telling you to come hither and you don't, that's a stronghold in your life. That's something that's outside of the realm of God. And that's something that you got to get rid of in order for you to do the best that you can. Live the life that you can for God. Amen? So he is the one who is the captain of the Lord's host. He is the one who's walking in victory before the battle even started. You know, I want to be part of that army. You know, if you ever played on a team, you want to play on a winning team. Amen? Face it, we are all free agents out there. We can choose whatever team we want. But I'm going to tell you right now, I want to go to the highest bidder. I want to go to the team that's going to win. I want some championships. I want some trophies on my mantle. You can choose because you're a free agent right now. Amen? This man says, I am the captains of the Lord hosts. So he's won the battle before it even started. And this means that this is sanctification. See, you want to win the battle before you get started? You can be saved, but you need sanctification. You know why you need sanctification? Because sanctification cleanses. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit ain't going in where it ain't clean. So you get saved, you have a relationship. Amen. You say, He is my Lord, He is my Savior. I recognize that He died on the cross, died 3 days later, He resurrected and left and became the Son of God again. You recognize that. But from a personal point of view, for you and for me, sanctification cleanses those thoughts and those things that you have out inside of us. Amen? Because, like I said, the Holy Spirit is not going to come in an unclean place. Think of yourself. If you go into a hotel room and it's filthy, you going in? You go back and you go to the counter, excuse me, you better give me a better room, a bigger room, or something, or I want my money back. And if you don't do that, you should do that. So now when the Holy Spirit is around you, because he's waiting, and he sees that your heart ain't clean, hey, he ain't going in that place. He's saying, excuse me, because sometimes we're this close. Come on, somebody. We're this close. It's right on your lips. He won't come in. Sanctification is the place that we recognize that if there's ever going to be victories in our lives, that it's going to come from the power of God and not our own. Hallelujah. And that we must trust in Him to secure victory in every battle that we're in. So sanctification is coming to our place where we dedicate our lives to Him and we trust Him to bring us to the place of victory. Amen? Sanctification is acknowledging Him to be Lord in every area of our lives. And I want to know, is that true for you? Or are there some places in your lives that's like off limits to God? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. You know what off limits is. Somebody say something to you, you say, girl, don't ask me that. I take the fifth. Are there some places off limits in your life to God? Real sanctification knows that He is Lord of all, or He is not your God at all. He wants all, or he don't want nothing. All or nothing. He knows that He must be given the key, the master key, to every part of your life. The master key. The ones that open up every part of your life. The master key. That open up every lock that you have on. You know you got locks on your life. You got locks on your personality, locks on your finances, locks on your relationships, locks on your jobs, locks in your cars. All of these locks you got on. Locks on your spirit, locks on your heart, locks on your head, locks on your who you talk to, locks on your mouth. He wants the key. The master key to everything in your life. You see, when you give Him the master key, that's when you come to terms with who He really is. Amen? But until you do that, you can forget about sustaining victory. You can have victory, but you can't sustain it. Amen? That means you're going to win some, but you're not going to keep it. He might bless you with a great job, but are you going to be able to do the things that God really wants you to do with that great job? Hallelujah. You'll get victory, but you won't be able to keep it. And you want to know something? When that happens, you might as well get used to continuously being defeated. If you can't sustain victory, that means there's going to be some defeats in there. Amen? So when Joshua meets this man, there's a couple of things that are strange about this meeting. First, there is the Lord's answer to Joshua's challenge. He said, "Are you for us or for them?" How many have done that? You for me or you against me? I know we all have done it, so you don't have to say amen. You have said, "Are you with us or are you against us?" Amen? Listen to what the man said, the stranger said. He said, "No. No. Aren't you supposed to be on one side or the other in a fight? Come on. One side or the other." That's kind of strange that this stranger would say no. He's saying, "Joshua, I ain't for you, but I'm not for the other side either." Because when he told him to lose his shoe, just one, he was bringing him back to remembrance of Moses, because that was strange. But when he said, "Lose your shoe," he was telling him to surrender. So when Joshua asked the Lord if he was for Israel or Israel answered, the Lord says no. What the Lord is saying, I didn't come to take sides. See, we always want the Lord to take our side. Come on. We always want him to take our side, whatever it is. But he is saying, I didn't come to take sides. I came just for victory. In your life, you don't need somebody to take your side. You just need victory. Because you can have victory even if your side is wrong. This is a call to Joshua to surrender all authority to the Lord in the middle of this battle for Jericho. Amen? Joshua is made to realize that God and not Joshua is the power behind the victory that'll come. Don't ask the Lord to take your side. Ask him for victory. Amen? When we got to learn that our successes and our victory are not a matter of what we can do. It's not our ability. It's not our power. It's like, it's God. And he says, when we go through things, he just wants us to be victorious. I want to have a victorious life. So that means that some things in my mind is going to be wrong. And when they're wrong, he'll still take me to victory, but he won't take my side. That's a heavy thing. I want you to really grasp that this morning, that God wants to take us to victory. He's not choosing you over anybody else. When we get into tit for tat with one another, do you want to know something? Either we winners together or we all losers. Because we are both souls. His will is that for none of us to be lost. Now, we get lost because somebody will think that he's on that person's side and not on my side. So now I'm going to have a resentment. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to get saved. I'm not going to do this. He's not on anybody's side. He wants us to live victorious. Amen? Amen. So when he told Joshua for just one shoe, I told you there's an ancient custom that when a covenant is made between two individuals, the one with the power is able to keep his shoe, and the one without the power has to take off one shoe. So when he took off one shoe, he surrendered to the high power, the one that has the authority, because there was a covenant between the Jews and God. Amen? Joshua was leading the promised people to the promised land. Amen? So there was a covenant but that was in place. But it was also his way of saying, I can't, but you can. Yes. We like to say, I can't, but you can. But we don't like to take off our shoe. We don't like to take off our shoe and surrender. I said we don't like to take off our shoe and surrender. But in order to surrender to God, you got to take off one shoe. You see, I guarantee you, if there's somebody came in here today and they said, look at Pastor Stan up there, he got one shoe on and one shoe off, they'd think I'm foolish. But what's foolish before man, it ain't foolish before God. Hallelujah. So how you surrender to the Lord and other people think that you're foolish, they're looking through their physical eyes. They're not looking through spiritual eyes. Hallelujah. When you get tired of getting whipped, you're going to take your shoe off just like I did. You're going to be sitting at your office one day, and there's some things going to be going on. And you know what? You're going to take that one shoe off. Because you're going to remember this here sermon. You're going to remember that I need to surrender right now to the Lord. Let me just take this shoe off. And just say, Lord, I can't, but you can. That's all you got to do. And he will acknowledge what you have already spoken out of your words. Amen. Lord, I can't fight these battles, but you can. I can't win the victories. I need you in my life. Amen? So what I'm saying here today is that we need to come to a place of absolute surrender. Now, I want you to know something about Joshua, which you already know. Joshua is a warrior. He's a warrior. He's a fighting machine. He's a fighting man. He's been ordained by God to be a warrior. Hallelujah. When he got the title, it says in the Bible that he didn't know what to do, and God said, Moses is dead. It's on you now. Some of us are waiting for other people who have already passed on or can't do it no more, and God is saying to you, this person, maybe they're dead. Maybe they're disabled. Maybe they can't do it no more. But now I've chosen you to pick up the mantle. You could be a warrior, you could be a meek person, you could be whatever you want to be, but you must surrender. Amen. Amen? Now, when this warrior got down on his knees, amen, and he took his shoes off, this warrior placed himself in a vulnerable position. He got down, he exposed his neck. Hallelujah. He put himself in a position where he could not use his own sword. He placed himself in a position of extreme weakness. He was totally yielded to the Lord. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about total surrender. We don't like our neck exposed. We don't want to be in a position where we can't use our own weapons of warfare. I said our own weapons of warfare. We don't like to be in that position. You're in that position when somebody says something to you and you want to go off on them. Come on, somebody. You want to be in that position when your children are in a certain situation and you have to submit yourself to whatever that somebody in authority says about it. We don't like to be in that position. We want to be able to come out fighting. But the Bible is saying that sometimes we have to submit and surrender and let the Lord fight our battles for us. Amen? Because we are not in a position of authority. We're in a position of weakness. We need to know where we're at all times. Sometimes we think that we're full of life, we're full of so many things, and we're in a position that we're weak. Amen? I don't know if you ever came to that place in your life, but I felt that way this morning, that I was feeling a little weak. And I said to myself, you know, you can't call pastor and say you can't come to church today. I could think it in my head, but I couldn't call pastor and tell him that I'm not coming today. And in my mind, I was saying, you know, you don't feel that great. You're a little weak. But then my mind said, oh, no, you're not. If you had to go to work, you'd go. If you was going to go play a game, you'd go. Why not go to church? Why not work out? Why not let God work it out? Total surrender. Total surrender. Hallelujah. When you are overcoming these strongholds in your life, amen, when you're in this battle, you need confidence. Another step in this battle that Joshua was having is spiritual victory over the strongholds in his life and our life demands confidence in the Lord. These are three areas that Joshua displayed confidence. So when I go to chapter 6, it says, now the gates were, I'm going to just paraphrase, the gates were secure and they were barred because of the Israelites. No one could come in and nobody can go out. Amen? Joshua was standing there and the Lord said, see, I delivered this to you. And he's probably looking at the wall saying, what? What? Nobody could go in and nobody could go out. And the Lord is saying, I have delivered this to you already. That's faith. We're in situations sometimes, and God, the Lord brings us there, and if we go in there with the right kind of confidence, he's going to tell you, I have delivered you from this already. And we got to have confidence in what the Lord is saying. Now, Joshua is listening to the Lord, and he says, I have delivered this to your in your hands already. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets or ram's horns in the front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. And then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everybody's going to go straight in. Now here, he's saying, I want you to take everybody for 6 days, march around this place. He said, but on the seventh day, I want you to get the priests, the horns, and when you go around the seventh time, I want everybody to shout. I want everybody to shout victory. When you shout victory, it's going to open up and everybody's going in. Hallelujah. So I need a little cooperation right now. I need you to stand up right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.